The Hippocratic Oath. I swear by Apollo Healer and by all the gods and goddesses, making them my witness, that I will carry out, according to my ability and judgment, this oath and this indenture. To hold my teacher in this art equals to my own parents. To make him partner in my livelihood, when he is in need of money to share mine with him. To consider his family as my brothers, as my own brothers. And to teach them this art, if they want to learn it, without fee or indenture, to impart precept, oral instruction, and all other instructions to my own sons, the sons of my teachers, and to indentured pupils who have taken the healer's oath, but to nobody else. I will use those dietary regimens, which will benefit my patients according to my greatest ability and judgment, and I will do no harm or injustice to them. Neither will I administer a poison to anybody when asked to do so, nor will I suggest such a course. Similarly, I will not give to a woman a pessary to cause abortion. I will keep pure and holy both my life and my art. I will not use the knife, not even verily, on sufferers from stone, but I will give place to such as are craftsmen therein. Into whatsoever houses I will enter to help the sick, and I will abstain from all intentional wrongdoing and harm, especially from abusing the bodies of man or woman, bond or free. And whatsoever I shall see or hear in the course of my profession, as well as my outside profession in my intercourse with men, if it be what should not be published abroad, I will never divulge, holding such things to be holy secrets. Now, if I carry out this oath and break it not, may I gain forever reputation among all men for my life and for my art. But if I break it and forswear myself, may the opposite befall me. A story I will share with you this Tuesday. A healer, a nurse, a NICU nurse at that. Oh boy, those light-colored scrubs and bright smile. Can they hide the darkest secrets? Secrets that are a life or death type of situation. This is the case of Jeannie Jones. Tuesdays with Trisha, episode number 6. Well, welcome to Texas for this week's episode. Now, if y'all are a first-time listener, welcome to the coolest place on earth. And if you are a repeat basic bitch, welcome back, and my heart is with you all. I'm like super excited to actually be doing this right now because it's been so long since I've given you guys an episode, and I apologize from the bottom of my heart. I have been going through a lot of life changes that has caused me to put my dear time aside with my true crime, and I have been dying to share things with you guys, and I'm sorry. I will try not to falter anymore off, but you know, life happens. So I am a full-time mom and also worker, you know, which I know everybody else is. So I have no excuses for you all. But if you're listening to this, welcome, because Texas is where this podcast is probably now going to take a turn. If you've been listening to me since like season one, you'll know that this is Southern California. True crime is where I'm going to focus, but things are going to change, and I'm going to tell you why. But first, before we actually get into it, I wanted to explain the long definition, because it's the longest definition I think I've ever put up. As far as an intro, and everybody's probably like, what the heck is this outdated Hippocratic Oath crap that she's talking about? Well, it's, one of the focuses of our episode because I always like to, so this is going into medical this week. But what I wanted to explain to you all was this. I think I pulled this off of like Wikipedia or something, and I just wanted to give you like the total, way back in the day medical version of this, of when, medicine started coming into the Western world. And so we, all in medical, when you are anywhere between medical records, it doesn't matter what department you work in, which I mean, you can work in medical records, you could be front desk, you can be an MA like I am, you could be a nurse, a registered nurse, licensed vocational nurse, there's all different types, nurse practitioner, and then you have, of course, your MDs and your DOs. And so everybody is intertwined in this whole medical world. And if you work in the medical field, you know about the HIPAA law or the Hippocratic Oath, which is our way of promising all of you guys, our patients, and everyone that we take care of, and the people that we work with, that we'll always have your guys's back, and we'll always, abide by these rules that we have to follow, which is meaning don't share, people's medical information, and keeping things, private, and learn, making sure you put the patients first, and basically saving your guys' lives. That is the main goal, is remember to keep every patient alive as best as you can, and we are going to exhaust every resource before we give up, and no medical professional will ever give up on you. So, anyways, that's the Hippocratic Oath to me, is what how I interpret it. As far as what I know that I work for. So I know that I am there to make sure that to help, my patients and to help my providers that I'm with, and then of course my staff. So that is just a little explanation of what exactly the definition of the Hippocratic Oath was. But anyways, we were talking about the fact that we're in Texas again. I said it again, I think now for the third time. So, forgive me. I need some water. So, anyways, I don't know how many of my listeners know this, but I have recently decided to pick up my life from Southern California and move my happy ass to Texas. So, this is a new adventure for me, and it is why I have had to put a break on my podcast for a bit, but I'm happy to be back. And the yeah, so I moved and I'm here, and I'm living near Austin, Texas, in a smaller town. So I know if you've been listening, you know that I focus my crime normally on Southern California true crime. So I think we're going to be taking a little bit of a twist and diving into Texas for a bit, because I always like to do things that are local and near me, which is why I focused on a couple of cases and my old hometown. So wish me luck. I'm here. It's crazy. A couple of things about Texas that I've just learned being here for a month now is that the weather is batshit crazy out here. I always tell everybody that the weather is like smoke some meth or is drunk, because it's nuts. It'll be 86 degrees with the worst humidity, and then like a couple hours later, it'll be stormy and cold, and it's just crazy. And then the drivers are all a little crazy out here too. I don't know, the highway systems are just a trip for me. I'm from Southern California, so I don't know. I bet you a lot of people freak out when they go to California, and I was like, "What the fuck is this shit?" And I'm kind of like the same, doing the same thing here in Texas. They also don't have like Mexican food that I'm like used to, in Southern California. That's our jam. That's our everything. I mean, there's certain tastes and smells that I've just been used to. But Texas has got their own like Tex-Mex thing going on. Actually get tacos from a gas station when I go work in Bastrop, and they're so delicious, and they're some of the best tacos. So whatever, just the way Texas works out here. Oh, and just so you guys know, Texas has the best, hands down, the best grocery store. It's called HEB. And the first time I walked into the store, I was like mind blown. And I don't know. I love the grocery store. It's probably because I'm there more than I am at home or at work. Or I could just go there often, like all the time. So it's important to have a good selection of groceries at a grocery store. And this place is amazing. If you have never been into an HEB, if you ever in the Texas area, I highly suggest you go to one. The HEB Plus is the one that I have near my house, and it is amazing. The cheese selection is off the chain, and I'm a big cheese and charcuterie board fan, so yeah. Okay, so, and honestly, I thought living in California, like we had everything, because I'm like a stuck up Southern Californian like that, and like we have everything. We have LA, and that's everything in the whole world. But boy, I was seriously wrong. And I guess, you know, this isn't my first time moving out of state either. Like I've lived in Cleveland, Ohio before. So, and that was a huge culture shock, especially the seasons, but that was like really awesome to experience. But I guess I should have learned, but no, I haven't. And I do have to admit the one thing I truly miss about living in California my whole life would be the mountains. And I know people are probably like, what? You're not even saying the beach? And I'm like, of course I love the beach. I grew up at the beach, but it's the mountains and being surrounded by the mountains, I think, is the one thing that I miss about California that I don't have here in Texas. But in Austin, we do have like hills, and there are some really beautiful places around here in Texas. It's just awesome. And you see cows, you know, out in people's yards, like a normal thing. And like there's like this little mini ponies that are like a little farm that's over where I live. Oh my goodness, you guys. It's adorable when you walk by the mini ponies every time. Okay. So, oh, and also I just want to reach out to anybody if you are listening to this and you live in Texas or you have any suggestions or say, you know, you just know about Texas. I don't know. Throw them my way. I am all for it. I'm super excited to learn everything Texas. Our case begins today on July 13th, 1950. Okay, so I'm finally getting to the case. Sorry for my big old rant. And if you listened this far, like, thank you for staying around. Just want to say that. Okay. So our case begins on July 13th, 1950, when Jeannie Jones was born in Texas. Now, we don't actually know who her birth parents are, and it looks like she was adopted immediately after birth. She was adopted by Dick and Gladys Jones, who had previously adopted three other children in the past. Dick was the entrepreneur type of guy, first owning like a nightclub and then like a billboard business. And it was said that like at a young age, Jeannie was always seeking like attention, but always kind of falling short of getting that attention when it came to like personal gain. So I guess she wasn't very good at getting people to help her. So instead, she would often lie and manipulate and betray people to basically get attention. So this started young for her. And I guess negative attention is better than none at all, according to some children. Her adoptive parents did recognize that this might be coming for the fact that she lost her brother Travis in an accident at age 14. Oh, that's right, I forgot about that. And yeah, so of course, you know, of course she would act out. Poor thing, lost her little brother. And then shortly after that, it looks like her father had died from cancer, which was quite devastating to her at the time. So I think basically she just wanted to be loved, and from what I gather, which is why it is no surprise when she got married at like a young age. So she was really seeking for that companionship and that love. So I guess it looks like the her adoptive mother, Gladys, was very much against like this. She was like, "No, Jeannie, you're way too young. You can't do this." So Jeannie, I guess, must have complied for a bit. And then eventually she completed high school and graduated. And shortly thereafterwards, she married her first husband, who was actually a high school dropout, and his name was James Jimmy Harvey Delaney Jr. Good Lord, that's a mouthful. James Jimmy Harvey Delaney Jr. Okay. It looks like the couple was married for about 6 months, and then Jimmy decided to join the Navy and leave Jeannie all by herself. It's kind of silly that sometimes women think that, like, no, they're going to do a job and this is what it is. But I get it. At a young age, who wants to, they get married and then you're like, oh, okay, bye. I don't know. That kind of sucks. This, I guess, oh, it looks like this led to numerous affairs where it looks like she was with different men and actually, everybody knew about it because she was like happy to share things about it. She was basically proud of what she was doing and let everybody know. Her mother, Gladys, looks like found out her basically found her behavior to be destructive and encouraged Jeannie to find a career. And I guess it looks like that's when Jeannie was like, okay, well, maybe I'll go to like beauty school for a bit. And so she did that for a while. And then when Jimmy got back from his deployment, so it looks like his first deployment, looks like, oh, they got pregnant with their first child and they named him Richard Michael Delaney. The couple looks like tried for a few years. And then in about 4 years after, like, they were like trying and had their first son. They decided to divorce in 1974. And then, I guess, a few years later, 1977, when Jimmy and her decided to, I guess, hang out. because it looks like she got pregnant. And they had their second child, and they named that child Heather. So she just went back to him, whatever. Y'all, you girls know you've done that before. You go back to your old man's, you have another baby with him. Just kidding. I don't know, but I just think it's funny. Or, well, I don't think it's funny. I mean, it's cool, like, but yeah, I just think it's funny how people like reconcile and then they're like, let's have a baby. No, don't do that. Anyways, so after she was done having a family, and I wrote in here being unfaithful to her husbands. So after she was done deciding to frolic around, Jeannie decided to go to nursing school. And she actually became an LVN, which stands for Licensed Vocational Nurse. I don't know if you guys can hear my little puppy, but he's barking right now and he wants to play. You want to play, don't you? No, we're talking about a murderer here, okay? It's time to focus. All right, anyways. She became an LVN, like I said, licensed vocational nurse, and was hired at Bexar County Hospital, and it's known today as the University Hospital of San Antonio, which where I live, San Antonio is about 45 minutes from here. So it looks like she specifically worked in the PICU unit, which is the pediatric intensive care unit. And I actually sadly, I know about a lot about this unit because my child suffers from epilepsy, my eldest, and so we have definitely been there a few hundred times, not maybe 100, but enough to say that I never want to go back. And I think That's for every parent. But there are wonderful people that work in this unit, and it looks like at this time Jeannie was one of them. Now, during her time at the hospital here, this is when Jeannie was a nurse, and they actually started to notice that a large number of children had died under the care, the unit's care. So the specific unit that she worked in started to have large amount of deaths of children. And it looks like no one really like got into it or just tried to figure out like who who specifically was responsible for it. I don't know the circumstances around that. I don't know if they didn't have records or they just didn't, you know, I mean, think about it. They probably didn't have any, you know, cameras at the time or anything like that. So they couldn't really pinpoint who did it. And the hospitals, you know, the hospitals, I know I always panic if stuff goes awry. So it looks like this one did. And because they didn't have any answer to the medical board or the higher ups, they actually just decided to resign their entire staff and, or make the staff like basically resign. And they then rehired everybody as registered nurses after that. So then you had to have like a registration, because with licensed vocational nursing, you have to have a certificate, but an RN, you actually have to be like registered. And so that's probably why they did that, just to protect their asses. And then it looks like once Jeannie left that place, she took a position at the pediatric clinic in Kerrville, Texas. Now, this is about 60 miles north of San Antonio. And this is also where things begin to take a very big turn for Jeannie and her career. So what I mean about taking a turn was Jeannie had a unique way of saving patients. And by unique, I mean she always had to actually save her patients. For some reason, it looks like that nurse Jeannie always got the problem child or the infant that was like mysteriously sick. Question mark. And I'm saying this because we only have proof of a few. But I'm telling you guys, the Hippocratic Oath that people took really do stick, you know, they would like it should. And people actually really follow this. So a doctor had actually started noticing things happening, and he also began to notice a pattern every time Nurse Jeannie was on the schedule. And so he started to snoop around. He was curious. And this doctor in particular looks like found bottles that were apparently supposed to be unused, unopened bottles, but when you took a closer look at the top of them, they had puncture sites. And these puncture sites were in drugs that were definitely life-threatening. And if any of these drugs were administered falsely, they could have a fatal outcome. And she was there, he had found three bottles in particular. It was succinylcholine, digoxin, and heparin. I just butchered those, okay? Don't judge me, because I am in medical. But those are a no-no. And then especially when it's an unopened bottle. Like, come on. Like, what's happening here? So here's the story. On one day in 1982, a mother named Petty McClellan walked her three-year-old son Cameron along with her 15-month-old daughter Chelsea McClellan because Cameron had actually come down with the flu. As Petty was sitting in the waiting room for Cameron to be treated, a nurse by the name of Jeannie Jones noticed that Chelsea was sitting in her other arms. Nurse Jeannie thought, I'm going to help this mom out. Why not kill two birds with one stone? And while mom was sitting here patiently waiting for her son, her sick son to be treated, the nurse, Jeannie, then offered to give Chelsea her up-to-date immunizations. So Petty and Chelsea went into the exam room, and the first thing Petty noticed was that the syringes for the vaccination had actually already been drawn up, which she found to be odd, but thought, don't be worried. You should be lucky that you're actually getting you got in to get this. Like, it's got to be safe. We're this is awesome. Killing two birds with one stone, right? Now, as the two were sitting there, Nurse Jeannie then administered the first shot into Chelsea's left thigh. And almost immediately, baby Chelsea started having a reaction. She began to not be able to breathe. She was choking and struggling, and that's when Nurse Jeannie gave her the second shot right in her right thigh. And Chelsea then stopped breathing altogether. So, like, honestly, personally, as a mother, I would have gone into straight fucking panic mode. And I'm sure that's exactly what Petty did when this happened. Nurse Jeannie did not even hesitate to help right away. She called the pediatric dirty, dirty. She called the pediatric doctor that was on duty, called 911 immediately. Started reacting, but still administered both those shots, even after the first shot when Chelsea was clearly having a problem. And it looks like they got Chelsea, they got her stable and into an ambulance and on the way to the hospital. But that's actually when Nurse Jeannie decided to actually join the ambulance ride with the young one. And sure enough, little baby Chelsea didn't even make it to the hospital before she was pronounced dead. This was obviously absolutely devastating to Petty. I mean, I went in, my son was sick. Why is now my 15-month-old daughter dead? Like, seriously, what the fuck happened? It mind blows me that she had this perfectly healthy baby girl, and you're taking your child in to supposedly get help, or in baby Chelsea didn't even need help. These were immunizations that were offered. And instead, she was greeted by any parent's serious worst fucking nightmare. So, if you're tripping just as much as I was about what just happened, then just know at the same time, everyone else in this unit noticed what happened. The physician and people working in the unit, I'm pretty sure, were in fucking panic mode. And they were all thinking, in like, how in the world did this happen? And why in the world was Jeannie always a nurse that got these so-called unlucky patients? I mean, was it that much of a coincidence? And honestly, it didn't take long for the doctor on duty to notice that things just weren't right. All of a sudden, probably it all started to flood back to, I'm sure, everybody that worked with her or the doctor that was paying attention. Not only were other nurses in the office actually complaining about Jeannie's behavior behind her back, the doctors had actually noticed it as well. And instead of making a scene or accusing the nurses of anything, the doctor, I guess, just began to start doing some investigation on his own and their own. He's probably let the hospital know. And sure enough, they ended up finding more bottles that had puncture sites of unopened medications that should never have been anywhere near a child, let alone an adult. And Chelsea's mother also knew that this wasn't right. She knew in her very depths of her soul. I mean, you have to know, you just gotta watch that happen. I would have freaked the fuck out. And she let authorities know as well. But remember, guys, this is the 80s. It's not, so there's a lot of like things that we don't have in place that we do now, I guess. So it looks like, though, after everybody went and did all their investigations, Jeannie obviously gets fired and The police report is taken, an investigation happens, and it looks like eventually she was arrested for the suspected murder of 15-month-year-old Chelsea McClellan. It's so crazy because she hid behind her medical license for so many years. And I don't even know what much of a license, but she hid under other people's license. I'll say that because licensed vocational nurse, I think you have to have an MD to work under, and they're the ones that have their DEA license, and they're the ones you're working under. And she just attacked these unsuspecting children, and just leaving all these families devastated and destroyed for what? Like her sick pleasure? I mean, I don't know if we'll ever know. So, just so we all know, on February 15th, 1984, Jeanie Jones was sentenced to 99 years in prison for the death of baby Chelsea McClellan. Now, in the years to follow, she would actually come up for parole quite a few times, but each time denied. Which was good because the victims' families always gave the testimonies, so that always worked against her, which is good. And all in all, it looks like 10 children would actually be suspected under her death. And this actually didn't include the first job, it had only included the second job. So we don't even know because remember that hospital never did any investigation. And so this new hospital, though, figured out that she could have been responsible for about 10 of them. And so, yeah, it's kind of crazy that if the first hospital would have actually reported this, she wouldn't have actually made it to like the second place and be able to do what she did. So it's crazy though. I just think, oh God, I think of just all the things that she could get away with and do, just being a part of medical myself, and I've never actually seen anybody do anything horrible in what I've worked in. But everybody I've always worked with has always been great, and everybody's always been mindful and aware of everybody. And especially of love the patients. So it just kind of mind blows to just think of all the things that she could have gotten away with, especially back in the 80s. There's no cameras. They wrote everything down in written charts, So I wonder how the filing system was back then for medication. I could only imagine. And if it wasn't for that one doctor, that actually started to pay attention because, I would have started paying attention too because I'd have been like, I'm not getting blamed for this. Like, what the heck? It's crazy. You don't want to have the reputation of the hospital that kills people or kills infants. It's just nuts to think about. Okay. So another thing to round out this story today was I always think it's crazy how our justice system works. Because most recently in 2018, Jeanie Jones was actually up for release from prison. And this was straight up due to overcrowding. And so obviously they always have to let the victim's family know when stuff like this happens, if it ever should happen. And they decided to strike back, and they did so in a very smart way. They actually decided to pull one of other Jeannie's victims that they thought, and this was 11-year-old Joshua Weeks, and it looks like she injected him with an anti-seizure drug, and that should have never been anywhere near the kids, so it was a very easy case to prove. And looks like they slapped her with this case right before she thought she was going to get out. And so she ended up pleading guilty to this. And she was presented with a plea bargain because she was actually facing up to four more murder charges regarding small infant children. But it looks like if she pled guilty to this one, she would only get persecuted for that one. But I think everybody decided to take the deal on it because they just wanted to keep a monster like her behind bars, or she deserves. She definitely doesn't deserve to be out on by default because our prison systems are overcrowded. It's fucking crazy. Mind blown to think, you know? Oh, yeah, let's hire fucking Jeannie Jones as the new fucking nurse. Oh, good Lord. So I just also want to say too that my heart goes out to all the victims and their families that were totally destroyed by this horrific breach of not only as a nurse or in the medical field to protect and serve, but for the greater good of all the families and the ones that never got to see their child grow and prosper and have that amazing life that they so very well deserved. I hope the families grew with peace and they live peaceful lives always. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode, taking you into Texas. And I hope I see you soon. So come back, come back, come back, come back, come back. Till next time, see you next week on Tuesdays with Trisha. Love you, gal.
And remember, check out Tuesdays with Trisha on Instagram.
And
we love
our five-star Apple reviews.
Now don't forget to listen to Tuesdays with Trisha. And also, make sure you wash your hands and keep your mask on, although it's 2021.
Yay!